So what's up, man? How
Let's
you doing?
Go, man. Are you back? Where'd you went to like a hot spring, mud bath?
I want to ask you about this right off the bat, okay?
Yeah, where'd you go?
I went to Calistoga.
Okay.
And
never
George
been.
Sedano has decided that it was a bougie vacation.
Yeah, sounds bougie.
Now, I was soaking in hot springs, and I got a couple mud baths. Is that bougie?
Oh, yeah. That's well, covering, what else? What matter of fact, off the top of your head, name something more bougie than soaking in multiple mud baths.
Staying at Pelican Hill.
But wait a minute, but at Pelican Hill, all you're doing is laying by the pool and golfing.
I know, but you're in a fancy resort. I was in just a regular motel that happened to have hot springs. I don't think it was bougie.
Okay. How honest do you want to be?
Be honest. Go ahead.
How much a night?
Hey, Juan, how much a night was that hotel? He's a $271.
Pretty reasonable by today's standards.
Yeah, that's
standards.
Pretty reasonable. We don't spend
pretty
a lot on hotels.
By today's standards.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever invoked Juan's name on the show and tried to get him involved. Mm-hmm. He's very shy. So, John, we start the show with some breaking news on 710 ESPN.
This news is awful, by the way.
It is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you and to download up to $15 in coupons. The bad news, as a Rams fan, I found it devastating this morning, and if you're a football fan, it's very sad. One of the great young talents in the league, Cam Akers, who came on like gangbusters last year, has torn his ACL and is gone. I'm sorry, torn his Achilles, and he is gone for the year. Oh, this
Mace,
hurts.
A week while you were gone, were on vacation, I think it was his birthday or something.
Yeah.
The Rams sent out a picture of Cam Akers, who's been working out all offseason.
Yeah.
And he looked like an indestructible tank. I actually, it popped into my head that with Sean McVay at the controls, Cam Akers could lead the league in rushing. I was absolutely convinced that he was going to rush for over 1,000 yards. And now, it's so brutal. I can't. And we had a text chain going this morning about this, and you said, well, Daryl Henderson has to step up. Daryl Henderson is not an every down back.
They're going to have to.
No. I've got some ideas. Are you ready for my ideas?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Do you want
I'm
me
ready
to wait?
For these. Ready for these ideas.
Okay. He's a little bit of a nut job, burned out at his last stop, but he's got something to prove, and he's available. All right, you just tell me on these ideas of mine if you pass or we look into it, okay?
Okay, got it.
And assume that this whoever I present will do it for the Rams price, whatever that is.
Yeah, whatever it is, okay.
So it's either all these names I'm going to mention are people with an axe to grind or something to prove.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Le'Veon Bell.
Is he a free agent?
Yep.
I'll take him.
Nobody signed Le'Veon Bell?
Chiefs cut him. He's got personal issues. I'll let you Google that to figure out what those are. But let me just say that it's nothing other athletes haven't worked through.
Okay. I would say yes. I would
be
interested
so we're looking
in Le'Veon
into that,
Bell.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, this is a tough one.
Okay.
I'll lead with the good news.
Yeah.
He's only 26. Okay?
Yep.
I think there's too much water under the bridge, but I'm going to leave it up to you. Todd Gurley.
I don't think he'd ever come back.
What if he has no other options?
I think he feels – he definitely has an axe to grind. He feels like he was mistreated by the Rams. You know what? I would take Todd Gurley back in this situation because I think – John, I think you're right about this. Daryl Henderson is really the only back on the roster who we've seen run. We haven't seen
any of
these
other guys. By the way,
you
know Gurley is a completely unrestricted free agent.
Yeah,
He started 15 games for the Falcons last year. He didn't show enough, you know, for the Falcons to bring him back. So he's just sitting there at age 26. They know him. He knows them. I think in light of what has happened.
Boy, how the mighty have fallen, huh?
Right. Yeah, well, his issues are injuries.
Yes.
So when his last year with the Rams, he averaged 3.8 yards a carry,
yep.
which is low for him. Last year with the Falcons, 3.5.
Hmm.
Okay, now here's the last one that I actually love.
Got it.
All right? I know you may poo-poo this.
Okay.
But I want you to...
suspend my disbelief?
Well,
entertain
who
the
was
premise?
The guy the Rams signed off the scrap heap a few years ago who ran wild?
C.J.
Anderson, right?
Anderson, yeah.
And he was really, really good. He was at the end of his career. He felt like everybody else had given up on him. I'm telling you, I've seen this guy play. He is an absolute beast. Okay?
Okay.
Last year, 600 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Okay.
Adrian Peterson.
Total unrestricted free agent.
Yep. Played for Detroit last year.
And hasn't retired.
Correct. He's the NFL's all-time fifth leading rusher. He recently was on a sports radio show.
Yep.
And here's what he said. My body feels strong. I still feel young. I still feel good. I'm ready to play ball. This guy, have you ever seen Adrian Peterson in person?
Wait a minute. You and I both saw Adrian Peterson
in person. No, I know we shook hands with him. Have you ever seen him run?
Oh, I've never seen him in person.
I bet you have. I bet you've been at a game.
I've been at games where AP ran. Yeah, I have been at games.
The first guy almost never gets him.
Yeah, never. He's just a bull.
Right.
He's a bull. And you know what? You know what he is. He could potentially.
Wait a minute! I'm excited that you haven't completely thrown this idea in the trash. I thought you were going to hate it.
No, I mean he can. You know, he's a guy that maybe is your third down back at the goal line, third and goal, and you want to run somebody. Maybe that's the guy you run.
I think Henderson is. Remember when we were like? I'm going way back on you, but remember.
Third round pick out of Memphis.
Right, but remember when you and I were covering the Chargers like a million years ago, and they had that guy Ronnie Harmon.
Yeah, I remember.
And that's what Henderson reminds me of, like a guy who can catch a swing pass out of the backfield, maybe on a third and seven, you run a draw. I think that's Henderson.
Although maybe we're selling him short, John.
I hope I am.
Ran for 624 yards, had 4.5 yards per carry. 4.5 yards per carry. Maybe we are. Underselling. Now, actually, Max Kellerman, I don't know if you know this or not, but he had
McVay on
Sean
today.
McVay on today.
Yeah.
And Jorge, follow me here. This is what Sean McVay said about replacing Cam Akers.
I think you take a step back. I think the immediacy of it is your first inclination is, okay, who do we have to replace it? And then what you do feel good about is we've got some young depth on the roster, and it'll earn guys an opportunity to really see, all right, how do they handle a little bit more of a workload? How are they able to handle some competitive opportunities we'll have, whether it be in the preseason or practicing against the Cowboys and the Raiders? And so we've got some young backs on our roster that I'm intrigued about seeing how they handle this opportunity. I don't know that the veteran route is something that we would rule out, but it's not something that we're immediately looking to address right now, you know, with it just occurring yesterday to camp.
Okay, so nothing yet. He's interested, intrigued to see the young guys. And I'm a Rams fan, John. I've been to every single game since they've been back in town. And I don't know these guys. Xavier Jones, Raymond Calais.
Yeah,
Jake
they're good at finding guys. I mean, I remember when they drafted Cam Akers, we all went, huh? Like they took him early.
He's a second round pick. Yeah.
And we're all thinking, really? And he was great.
Fantastic. Was just emerging as they went down the stretch last year.
Here's the list of free agent running backs. Those were the three that I liked.
Okay.
I mean, I thought that those three guys, I love Peterson. I think that he'd have something to prove. I think that he's at the end. You just cut him if he doesn't work out.
Yeah, sure.
Gurley,
any of these guys are cuttable.
Gurley and McVay had that weird thing.
Yeah,
I don't
know why I don't think it's going to happen.
Le'Veon Bell is, you know, he's only 29.
Get out of here.
But... he's like almost has 10,000 yards rushing, but the Kansas City hardly played him at all. Andy Reid hardly played him at all, which makes me think there may be some issues there, but I love the idea of Peterson, more than the other guys. All right. What about this? LeSean McCoy.
God, he's still out there.
Yeah.
He's like one of the all time leading rushers too.
No, but this next guy I'm going to mention is.
Wait a minute, isn't LeSean McCoy, how many career yards does LeSean McCoy have?
I know, I'd have to look it up, but this next guy's top 10 all time.
Okay.
Frank Gore.
He is still running after all these
years.
Well,
he's a free agent.
Yeah. Boy,
remember,
there are a lot of options is what you're basically
remember
saying.
Remember Deion Lewis, who played for the Patriots a few years ago?
Yeah.
He might be just a guy. TJ Yeldon, remember he was with the Jags?
I do remember TJ Yeldon.
He's out there. So there's some options, but I, you know, for me, I would rank them in my own head. I would rank Peterson 1, probably Le'Veon Bell 2. I don't, can I put Gurley on there? What do you think?
No, I don't think Gurley would ever. He, when he left, he talked so much. About the,
you're right.
About the organization.
Well, so, and it was that weird thing, like, he would stand on the sidelines and he didn't have his helmet. And one time McVay told him to go in and he wouldn't go in.
Wouldn't go in. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of weird stuff. And then afterwards complained about it and complained about the Rams organization.
Although I will say this, that if you fall in professional sports, being humbled could be a great motivator.
You're right.
I remember when Phil Jackson and Kobe broke up. Do you remember Phil in like 2004 when Shaq went to Miami, Phil left, Rudy Tomjanovich came in, and then Phil wrote a book and he called Kobe uncoachable and said that, you know, Phil had tried everything in his bag of tricks to get Kobe to listen to him and Kobe wouldn't do it and deemed him uncoachable and everybody made a big deal out of it. Well, the Lakers had two really bad seasons and Phil and Kobe got on the phone. And they've, you know, they worked it out. It came back and they won three, you know, went to the finals three more times, won twice. Could Gurley and McVay doesn't seem like the type of guy who would hold grudges. Either
no, I don't
Les
think so.
Snead.
McVay just wants to
the
win.
Question, right, I agree. The question is, could Gurley come back hat in hand and say,
that's a good question.
Hey, guys, I, you know, I've now had a year away. I was in Atlanta where I went to college.
Yep.
It should have worked. It didn't. I'd like to come back and fix what we broke.
Hmm.
And McVay, I'll tell you what, McVay and Les Snead strike me as the type of guys that would cut whatever deal they could cut just to try and win.
They just want to win.
Those dudes don't
that's
have
all
big
they care about.
Those dudes don't have big egos.
No, and this is a team that is has pushed every chip into the middle of the table right now. In fact, I came across this yesterday. They put out odds for exact Super Bowl matchups. I don't know if you saw these or not.
I didn't.
Okay. So the favorite Super Bowl matchup at 14-1 is a repeat of last year, Tampa Bay versus Kansas City.
Okay.
The second pick on the board, the second best exact Super Bowl matchup, according to Vegas, is Rams versus Chiefs, which means that they rank the Rams as the second best team in the NFC.
And let's use Tampa as an example of this running back dilemma. Okay, so remember last year, the Jags basically just released Leonard Fournette.
Yes.
They said, the guy can't play, he's hurt too often, blah, blah, blah. And Tampa Bay picked him up, and he made some big contributions to them, especially in the playoffs. So that's what makes me think maybe you don't give up on the idea of a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who you know is not even 30.
He did it once.
Yeah, used to be when he was on the Steelers, he was just an almost unguardable weapon. Doesn't have the mileage on him that other guys with his stats do, because remember he basically took like 9 games off in a holdout.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The Jets, you know, you and I have had the conversation a million times, running backs on bad teams
do you really nothing can't because hold that you just got to throw the ball.
Well,
when you're
and
behind.
all the other team, most of the time you can't throw the ball, and so the other team just loads up the box and you can't.
Yes.
So I just write off the Jets thing.
Yeah.
But the thing with the Chiefs, I thought he would like really go nuts in that offense with Mahomes.
Barely played. I just pulled up his numbers. Barely played for Kansas City.
Yeah, and he's got some off the field stuff that you guys can read up on if you want. It's mostly personal.
Is it really bad or no?
No, it's baby mama drama.
Okay, baby, you know, mama drama.
To take a line from Eminem.
yes.
But that type of stuff. But no, nothing that other players haven't been able to play
okay,
through.
Okay, okay. That's it. Okay, so if you're a Rams fan, now's good. You heard Ireland list out some names. 877-710-ESPN. Where do the Rams go at running back? 877-710-ESPN.
By
also,
the way,
John,
Mace, I don't think you can understate how big this Cam Akers loss is. I mean, I can't. This guy looked like I just had the – hopefully he comes back 100%. That's the only thing, because he's only 23.
And Achilles is so tough to come back from.
Yeah, but it's better now than
it used
to be.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys who've come back from Achilles now are, I mean, 20 years ago it was an athlete death sentence, but it's not anymore. You know, you and I were in the stands when Kobe dropped 60, and that was after he got his Achilles replaced.
Right. And I'm looking at the numbers for Cam Akers. I mean, he got better and better as the season went along, and ultimately had some huge games. Ran in the playoffs with a 6 yards per carry number.
Yeah, great.
6 yards per carry.
And it turns out he could catch. It turns out he could block. You know, it's just a devastating loss for the Rams.
Yeah, it really is. All right, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Also, John,
Game 6 tonight, mate.
Game 6. It means a lot and I've boiled it down to two players. It means a lot. Let's get into that coming up next. Plus your calls, Mason Ireland, 710.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN. So Rams down a running back. Cam Akers is gone for the year with a torn Achilles. Ireland threw out some ideas and some good ones, I think, for players that the Rams should look at to give them depth. Although, John, I think that what we're going to see this year is a stable. We're not going to see a bell cow back. We're going to see a stable of running backs. And
fine.
We'll
Tampa
emerges.
Won the Super Bowl kind of doing it that way.
Yeah, they did. They did. You don't need a bell cow back anymore in this league.
All right, 877-710 ESPN, 877-710-3776. Here's David in L.A. All right, David, I threw a lot of names out there. Any of them catch your eye?
Adrian Peterson. But I just want to say something, guys, real quick.
Yeah.
This goes back to when you guys traded Goff. That was a bad trade. If you don't make the trade, you keep your draft pick, your top draft, and then you have draft capital to get another running back. But now you got nothing. Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Well, okay, so you're right that they don't have draft capital, but it's also not the time of year when you see trades go down in the NFL.
Wait a minute, David.
Camp opens tomorrow.
I want to disagree with you about that it was a bad idea to trade
Goff.
Me
too. Me too.
Wait
a minute.
Matthew Stafford.
Wait a minute. You're only going, David.
No, you guys have been wrong for a whole year. You and Plasky. All you guys.
Hey, David.
Screwed up this year. You guys talk a lot of Jack. It was not
David,
the right trade.
David, I promise I'll let you talk. Can you let me talk first? Are you ready? Did you hang up?
No, shoot.
No, George, don't turn him down. Leave him up the whole time.
I'm here.
Okay, David.
Okay, good.
Here's my point. Do you agree that you're only going as far, particularly in the postseason, as your quarterback will take you?
I agree.
All right. Jared Goff turns the ball over too much. It's the number
– Jared Goff turned the ball over because there was no protection.
Okay, but David
– the running backs were in transition.
Okay, now – okay, so – okay, my turn.
Okay, then you go.
Okay, my turn.
It's unreal. Jared
so
Goff,
I was a relentless –
You're there. We're listening.
You're listening.
Jared Goff was only 5,000 yards away from being the all-time Ram passer.
Okay.
You don't get there without knowing what you're doing.
David, I like Jared Goff. I think my big complaint with him is if he wouldn't have turned the ball over as much as he did.
Everybody turns the ball over.
No, not as many times as Jared Goff does. Not as many times. I mean,
six last year. Jesus Christ. The guy's 33 years old and injury prone.
Yeah.
Injury prone.
He's not injury prone. I don't know that Matthew Stafford has ever been injured.
Mace, he missed a whole year.
On this guy.
David.
I'm looking at 16, 16, 16. All right, so 2019, he played 8. And then 2020,
he
played 16.
And he had major back issues. That's a fair point by David. But, David, I'm telling you, if Jared Goff wouldn't have turned the – and I watched all the games. I don't know if you watched all the games. I watched every Ram game.
I did watch all the games.
His turnovers were not the type of turnovers that elite quarterbacks make. He threw – how do you explain that pass he threw in Seattle? The Rams were going to win game.
Plus, how many strip sacks do we need to live through?
Seattle. Didn't he beat Seattle in the playoffs when it counted?
Right.
Yes, he did.
Hello?
He had a very good – wait a minute. Was Seattle the game he played? Yeah, Seattle was the game he played or was Wolfe?
No, I'm talking about the regular season game in Seattle where the Rams had that game under control, and he literally – David, it would be like if you and I were playing in a playground and I just threw it up in the air for grabs.
Ireland. What about the defense's blow? How about the games against Buffalo when the Rams had him won and the defense couldn't hold? How about that 49er game where Ramsey goes offside?
Wait a minute. It was,
why don't you guys play the defense?
It was ranked.
We would have won 13 games.
It was ranked the number one defense in the National Football League last year.
Hey, David, what are you talking about in the Buffalo game?
They blew it. Now they got to eat it. They're going to have to eat it for the next 6 years.
Well, David, we'll find out who's right.
You had a 26-year-old prime quarterback.
David, go back and look. David, go back and look at the Buffalo game. Jared Goff turned it over four times in the first half. Four times in the first half.
What happened in the second half? He comes back and brings that team to a winning. They had the lead. The defense couldn't hold on.
I don't care. You can't have your quarterback turning the ball.
Yeah, you can't have your ball. And look, he went three games with eight turnovers. And over a three-game stretch, he had eight turnovers. You just can't live with that from a starting quarterback.
David, if you're right, I hope you call back and you tell us, look, I told you guys they gave up on Goff too early, but I think unless he gets his turnover problem under control, he'll be out of the league in 5 years. He's got to be better at taking care of the ball. Maybe he goes to Detroit and finds what he had when he took the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Maybe he does. All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Good call, man. That's a good call. I'm glad you're fired up.
Here's Tim in Pasadena. Hey, Tim, any of those running backs do anything for you?
Yeah. You know, if I'm the Rams, I'm probably going with Frank Gore.
Why?
Well, you've just said that the Rams have, an ability to find these hidden gems. So you don't really know what of the guys you've got on the roster already. Frank Gore has proven that he can do it, and he's a great guy. So he would be a great locker room guy, a great guy for these young fellas to learn from.
He ran for over 600 yards last year, and he's got 16,000 yards in his career.
Yeah,
good veteran.
You're right. I don't hate your idea at all, Tim. I would ask you this, though. Adrian Peterson's 35. Frank Gore is 38. And Peterson's a little more proven. Why Gore over Peterson? The locker room thing would put it over the top for you?
I think the character part of it. I don't think, he's proven everywhere he's gone that he can, put up numbers. He's always, he's been on some horrible teams. He's been in some horrible situations. And he's always proven to be like a professional character.
You're absolutely right.
Tim, absolute lock for the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Five-time Pro Bowler. I don't hate that idea. I lean towards Peterson, but we'll see.
Wait.
Before you go, can you say have some bleep and respect?
I will, but one other point. C.J. Anderson, just randomly, now head coach of Monta Vista High School in Northern California.
No kidding. That's a great high school.
He was
program.
Really good. He came on like gangbusters that one year when Gurley was not healthy.
And by the way, Tim, that's what we're looking for, is somebody to just fill that role, the C.J. Anderson role, until Akers can come back. So I don't hate Anderson or Seagard. Now do Lindsay's thing.
What was it? Sorry.
Have
some bleeping respect. Just say that.
Have some bleeping respect.
Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Thank
that
you.
That was awesome.
Thanks,
man.
Tim.
Thanks for the call. That's great. I have a feeling
Tim's
we'll hear that again.
My favorite now.
Yeah, we'll hear that again. All right, coming up next for you is Wheel of Questions. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Was out this morning with Chris Morales and my podcast partner, Sue Kalinske, and we went to the driving range and hit some balls. This is the first time I've hit balls in 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
I gave it up there for a stretch, including vacation, because I needed a break. I needed some distance from this game that frustrates me so unbelievably. But Morales is going to call in here in a minute, and we'll get some word on my swing. Okay. You keep wanting to reduce the number of strokes.
I think you're getting too many.
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what the strokes are. You're going to win this thing.
Well, we're going to find out. All right. We'll see.
It is time to spin the wheel of questions. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, Jorge, here we go. Let's spin the wheel. Oh, this is a question that's very applicable to me, but you guys can tackle it first. Here's a question. Are honors more likely to come to those who seek them or those who don't care about fame and think only of their work? How much fame and accomplishment impresses you? So that's the question. Are you more likely to win awards if you want them or if you don't care about them? And how much does fame and accomplishment impress you?
Well, fame and accomplishment are two different things.
Correct.
You can be famous without accomplishing anything.
Yes, correct.
You know,
or you can have great accomplishments and not be famous at all.
Right. So it's a little misleading. I know you focus a lot on awards, but I really don't.
Yeah.
You know what? And what convinced me? Like to you, for example, it's a dream of yours and very important to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
It is very important to me. Yes, it is.
Yeah, you could have it tomorrow if you give them the money.
I think it's harder than that.
No, you have the requisite level of fame. If you looked at the people that were on the Walk of Fame, you'd be surprised.
Right.
Many radio personalities with lower stature than yours are already there.
But don't you think we'd have to do it together? Don't you think the show is Mason and Ireland?
No, there is already a John Ireland star
but
on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
That's not you.
But I think that the
I think you guys would have to do it together.
No, see, I think the ultimate thing, though, would be, because I don't care about awards and Mason does, that if Mason what was the Steve Garvey radio show? What did they call it?
Garvey and Company?
Mason and Company.
Mason and Company. Yeah. No, I think I think Mark and Brian have a star together.
They might. Remember Dan Avey or the late, great Dan Avey? He's got a star.
Yeah, I think Kevin and Bean have a star.
And Allie McKay got left off of that star?
Yes, she did.
She's not going to be happy.
She did not make
that
star.
Has anyone told her?
No, I don't know if she knows yet. I don't know if she knows.
She's going to lose it.
Lindsay, what about you? Fame, how important is it? And how do you think awards go to people who don't care or people who want them a lot?
I think that the second part of the question is stupid and it doesn't make any sense because, like, what do you mean? Did it happen to come to people who think it's important?
No, in other words, so I want awards really bad. John doesn't. Who is likely to win the awards?
Probably whoever is better at whatever it is they're trying to win an award at.
Not necessarily. There are politics behind awards. Mace, the best example of this is you've worked in, you know, you own movie theaters and have done podcasts about the movie business for a long time. Remember, like, studios would spend tons
Still
of
do.
Money on
for your consideration ads.
Right.
It's going on right now with the Emmys. If you drive around town, there are billboards for TV shows for your consideration because the Emmy Awards just came out.
Yeah, and so it is somewhat political. So it's not – your question is not totally ridiculous because there is a method to winning a bunch of awards. But, I mean, there are people like Meryl Streep that are going to win them whether – people campaign or
right.
not.
Right, she does. You know she doesn't mean? Care anymore. She doesn't care anymore.
Right, but would some person win an Emmy that, unless you did a campaign for him because you've never seen the show? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I think there is something to that.
So, Lindsay, how important is fame to you?
It's not important at all. I think fame's stupid.
Why do you think
it's
stupid?
Well, you're on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball.
What does that have to do with fame?
Because your Instagram, the reason it's important for you to mention Instagram a lot is because you want a lot of attention for it. That's fame.
That's not fame.
Sure it is.
It's totally different.
Attention. You're on some level, you know, Kim Kardashian does this at millions and millions of followers. You're doing it at whatever number, but you're doing the same thing. You're putting content out there.
I wouldn't do it if it wasn't for work. That's why I do it. It's part, you know, I think it's all comprehensive within my job.
Okay.
I don't think it's not important for me to like meet or hang out with famous people. I think for the most part, you know, I have zero level of fame, but everyone I know that is famous, all they do is complain about how miserable it is. So
really,
what do you mean, really? You think that's a surprise?
Yeah, well, no, yeah. Not everybody.
No, I don't
complains.
Think you're right. I disagree with what you think. I think that there are certain people that are driven by fame. Like literally, it's like I always say that Mace, you know, in the TV news business, which I was in for 30 years, you can separate everybody into two categories.
Yeah,
people that want to be in TV, that want to do it for a career. And people that want to be on TV,
yeah,
that basically only want the perks. And you can, by the way, you can tell you've worked enough at TV stations where you can tell in 10 minutes which camp a person's in,
right
after you meet them.
Yeah, because like a lot of people when they do the sports, I did the sports at Channel 11 for a couple of years, and a lot of people when they do the sports, they just roll in, they say, "Where are my scripts?" 10 minutes before the show,
right?
And whereas I would sit and write copy for myself.
And a lot of people, there's a famous story once where a guy had been in the market forever.
Yep.
And one of his producers said, "All right, I need you to go do a live shot at Dodger Stadium." And he said, okay, how do I get there? You know, he'd been
really?
On the air. Yeah. And I'm like, come on.
Oh, God. But, that's crazy.
Right. But I mean, that's there are people that are driven by fame. That it's the only thing that matters to him.
Jorge, what about you? Now, you're famous. You're the board op and associate producer of the Mason and Ireland show. Everybody loves Jorge. By the way, John, when we did the movie screening, you can't believe the number of people who gravitated toward Jorge. He is a big, big star. How important is it for you to be this famous, Jorge?
No fame, man. I don't care about the fame. I don't care about the praise. That's just not me. As far as the awards, I've worked in this business for so long, never gotten one. So what does that tell you? Probably not getting one anytime soon either. So yeah. I don't care for both, you know. I love what I do, man. That's what it is. I just love what I do.
I need praise. I thrive
on
praise.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're the only one on the show that cares about any of that stuff.
You think I'm the only one?
Yes.
No, maybe on the show, but not at the station.
No, definitely not on the show.
Yeah, on the show. Yeah, and now I do care about it. I do care about it. I'll be honest. All right. There you have it. There's your wheel of questions coming up next for you. John, you're not supposed to say shark attack anymore. Do you know what
Why?
You're supposed to say?
Oh, boy.
I will explain this coming up next. Plus, Chris Morales is going to join us to talk about my golf swing. We were out at the driving range today. Don't forget, September 10th, me versus Ireland for 9 holes at Black Gold. We'll get a report, John, from Chris on exactly how my swing is. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
There you go. Chris Morales joining us. Morales, by the way, is the guy you hear at the beginning of the segment and at the end of the segment. He does a great job for us. Morales, what are you doing, man?
Steve Mason, John Ireland. It's great to hear you guys together. That doesn't happen too often these days.
Especially lately, I was going to say,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, I understand that you were on the golf course with Mason today. What are we looking at? Give us a swing assessment as we are now, Chris, about a little under 2 months away from the big event. Mason versus Ireland.
Yeah, it's been a month and a half. It was great to see Mason in person. It was great to press the flesh. He's got a beautiful tan coming back from vacation. I'm going to say this, John, and I'm fearful to do this because every time I say compliments, you want to lower the strokes. And that's not what we're trying to do here. That's not the bit.
All right, no, so
we're trying to make it to where a year from now we could have Mason and Ireland too, like the Rocky trilogy. Okay.
So what are the strokes now? We're playing 9 holes.
26
nine
strokes
holes,
is what
front
we're at.
Nine,
right now.
Okay.
The front nine at Black Gold, which is difficult, as you know.
Right.
I think it should be 25, John.
25 strokes. Okay, so assume that we're operating on 25 strokes, Chris. Give an honest assessment of where you think Mason is at this point.
Mason will finish inside of 10 of you.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. The way
I would
swinging.
Be
now,
shocked
I
if I
today.
Do that.
Now, I gave him some tips today that I think will help him. Not that his golf coach isn't great, but his golf coach is teaching him the long game. John, you know how this goes.
Yeah.
We got to make some quick adjustments
That's
for him
true.
To be able to get the ball more in play. He was hitting it really well. Great club head contact. He's bowling that wrist. It feels good, John. I think it's going to be surprising that day, September 10th, as that morning sun comes up in your Belinda, California, you're going to sit there and go, where did this guy come from?
Nice. Wow. I just don't see it that way, Chris.
You need confidence, Mason.
I feel
Maybe if
like
you worked
a hack,
more, you'd have more
man.
Confidence.
I feel like a hack.
Well, you could still be a hack and you could win getting 25 strokes.
25 strokes,
That's
yeah.
It.
So Morales, your game, I was very surprised. Chris Morales really plays. I didn't realize Chris was really good.
Yeah, well, I've played with Chris. Chris is a good golfer. That's
John, know. I heard him gasp when he saw one of my first shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mason was shaking with him with being impressed a little bit. It was interesting.
Oh my god.
Well,
he
golfs Chris. Like every day.
Easy, Lindsay. Nobody needed that from you.
But I golf a lot.
There's one word that comes to mind when she says you golf every day, Chris, and that word is jealous.
Jealous, exactly.
It's also called heaven golf.
Yeah.
It's called heaven
yes.
golf. You know this as well.
All right. Hey, Morales, great to see you at the range. Appreciate it a lot. Appreciate the vote of confidence there, and I'm looking forward to September 10th.
Keep practicing, Mace. You're going to be able to get it within 10 of John, and we're going to have Mason Ireland 2 next spring. It's going to be
nice.
Beautiful.
Nice. Okay, good.
All right,
thanks,
boys.
Morales.
Have fun.
All right, Morales. See ya.
Yeah. Now, he's overselling me.
No, Mace, here's the thing. If you get a 7 on every hole,
yes.
Like even the par threes,
yeah,
you would shoot 63. That means I'd have to shoot 38 to tie you. So, I'm not going to shoot 38. Like,
but I can't hit the ball straight, John.
I'm
hitting the ball, but it's way.
My
right.
hope is that on one hole you take like a 12, and then I've got a chance.
Trust me, that will happen. Trust me, that will happen. Yeah, I'm taking 7s on a par 3 executive course.
Well, that's so all you really need is a 7.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling
yeah.
you. All right, we'll figure it out.
All right. So, John, there is a brand new kind of politically correct way to talk about sharks.
You got to be kidding me.
No. So, we talk about the movie
So,
Jaws.
I go out and get attacked by a shark, and I'm telling you the story, and I say, Mace, I'm a victim of a shark attack. Are you telling me that that is somehow politically incorrect?
Correct. Wildlife authorities say using attack as a catch-all word for every unpleasant human shark encounter is misleading and does a disservice to sharks. You are now supposed to say you had a shark interaction. A right. shark interaction
okay, so
instead
this, who,
of a shark attack.
Who says this?
This is the Washington Post, some experts in the
All
Washington
right, so
Post.
So this would be my response to the experts in the Washington Post. I just had my leg bitten
exactly.
off. Blank you. How's
exactly.
that for politically incorrect? Blank
That's not
you.
A shark interaction. I'm bleeding.
My leg is over there on the other side of the lake.
I read this whole thing. I'm drawn to sharks. I can't watch Shark Week because it scares the living hell out of me, but I do read about sharks whenever there's a story. Like there's a sighting of a great white shark, I think. Lindsay, you said in Santa Monica yesterday?
I think it was in Malibu.
In Malibu. Okay, so out by Zuma Beach. So they're out there. They're out there. And I know it's rare. It's 1 in 4 million. That you're going to be attacked by a shark if you're in the water, or have a shark interaction if you're in the water. That one is the one I can't live with.
Right.
I can't.
It only takes one to ruin your life.
Right. I can't go out there. I like surfing would scare the hell out of me. I barely go in the ocean. I'm a pool guy. I'm not an ocean guy, even though, you know, I live by the ocean. It's just, and if you're attacked by, if you have a shark interaction, sorry, sharks. If you have a shark interaction, you're supposed to, here's the order of things. You're supposed to, one, stay completely calm. Don't flail around.
Yeah, good luck with
that. Don't be nervous. Number two, make eye contact with the shark. Because if you're assertive, you can scare the shark off. And number three, if they're still coming at you with this shark interaction, you punch them in the nose, you punch them in the eye, you punch them in the gills.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. Punching them in the nose doesn't seem to be the best idea.
No, punching them in the nose is a big thing, according to these experts.
How
punch
many people do you know are going to sit there and punch a shark in the nose?
Well, if I see a shark and I'm in the water, what other choice do I have? I've got to fight, right? What would you do? You're on a surfboard. You're in off Malibu. You see a shark, and it comes and has an interaction with you. How do you deal with it?
I would scream shark attack.
But wait, the shark is still there.
I don't know what I would do, honestly. I'd try and swim away, I guess.
Has anybody ever had a shark attack a close call?
No.
I've never even seen one.
Although after I watched Jaws, me and all my friends, because we were all beach kids, we made everybody swim out to the buoys the next day because we were afraid Jaws was so terrifying that all of us were going to be scared to go in the water for the rest of the summer. So we all swam out there.
There just to force yourself to do it?
Yeah, just to make...
That movie gave me nightmares. That movie actually changed the course of my life. I literally
don't
go in the ocean.
Still to this day don't go in the ocean? Even though you live less than a mile from it?
Let's throw it out there. If you ever had a shark interaction or attack.
No one's had a shark interaction or attack.
Somebody has. 877-710-ESPN. Somebody out there has had a shark interaction.
So, did you see what happened when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went to the White House today?
Yeah.
You did? Did you see Joe Biden got off a great line? Did you hear?
Didn't hear the line. I know they went.
All right, so, you know, normally we don't talk politics on this show. But this is funny, so that's why I'm bringing it up. So Tom Brady got up and spoke. You know, and Brady always didn't go to the White House when the Patriots won. I don't think he's been since 2003 or 2004, but he went today with his team. And he was talking and he said, not a lot of people think that we could have won. And in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
Mm.
And Biden looks at him and goes, I know how they feel. That's a pretty good line.
That is
a
good
politician.
Line.
About 40% of the people still don't think that we won. I know how they feel.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. That's funny. So you sent a story today that I love because it applies to me in every single way.
Oh, the podcast thing?
Yeah, the podcast thing. So I find this fascinating. Mark Maron, who does a great podcast called WTF.
Yeah, I thought of you when I saw that story.
And it applies to me, and I've done the exact same thing Mark Maron has done. Let's do that coming up next for you, Mason, in Ireland, 710 ESPN.